Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, not all British royals sound posh, or at least they didn't used to. When the remains of Richard III were discovered in 2012, a project worked at recreating his voice. The historian and writer Philippa Langley was the woman who discovered those remains. Philippa, good afternoon to you.
Hello.
I suppose first off, what we'll start by doing, just for the listeners, we'll actually play the clip of this recreated voice.
The clarity and charity of the sun's light is so great that when it is poured on the other heavenly bodies, the sun sheens with no less light and splendour, nor does it suffer any diminution of its strength. Rather, it is pleased to be seen.
Right, so I suppose the most notable thing, or one of the notable things there, Philippa, is that he has a Yorkshire accent.
Yes, it's kind of like the medieval Yorkshire accent, isn't it? Yeah. Mm.
And words were literally pronounced in a different manner. Some words were.
Yes, they were very much so. I think one of the words that you heard there is the word that we say today, which is any. Mm. And we still spell it how they used to say it, which is A-N-Y. So any. They used to say it any.
Yeah. And words like licht and rather than light and that
yes.
kind of thing.
Yes. And I think hence why we still have the G-H-T in light and night, for licht and nicht. It's very strange, isn't it?
Yes, it is strange. Now, why did he have a Yorkshire accent?
Well, his mother and father were from the north. He lived with Warwick the Kingmaker when he was a young boy for a long time. He was from the north. The Nevilles were from the north. And he moved to the north when he was a young boy. But then he returned to the north to live there when he was about 18, 19. And he married a woman from the north. So I think kind of the writing was on the wall.
So when the research was going on to try and figure out what kind of an accent he had, and now because, you know, we'd all be familiar with the traditional, it's always depicted as a Shakespearean accent. What things do you take into account when you're building it back up again?
Yeah, one of the really useful things was in those days, in Richard's time, they used to spell words exactly as they said them. So this gives us the clearest indicator of how they would have spoken at that time. And indeed, we've got all of, you know, letters and writings and decrees from Richard. So we've got that as well. And I think if they hadn't have done that, if they hadn't written the way they talked, then it would have been very difficult for us. But we had the world's leading expert, Professor David Crystal, on original pronunciation. He spent his entire working career, and he's now in his 80s, literally looking into this question. And he's quite a remarkable guy.
And the things he took into account, was it just that how people spoke at the time, what parts of the country Richard spent most of his time? Things like the shape of his face and, you know, those kind of factors, would they have affected the way he spoke?
Yeah, definitely. They had to look at, you know, the size of his neck and his shoulders and where his mouth was. He has a frontal occlusion with his teeth and sort of the cavity within his mouth and all of that. That was all taken into account. But also the other thing that was taken into account was the work that I had to do. Because I had to go back into all of the contemporary materials from Richard's lifetime to find descriptions of Richard so that we could work out his character and his personality, because your personality affects the way you speak. And I think what I was amazed by was everything that was said about Richard publicly was also written about him privately in like letters and diaries, and the two completely dovetailed. So we had a sort of a probability bordering on certainty of Richard's recognised character during his lifetime.
And in that clip, certainly he sounds quite softly spoken. Was he a mild-mannered individual?
Yes, we actually have descriptions saying that he had a mild and pleasant temper. and that, you know, he was modest and he would listen and he would be, you know, he would take moments to be very thoughtful. So, yeah, not quite the Shakespearean guy, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, and this was of a piece with also the recreation of how he looks.
Yes, yes, because when he was found in the car park, there was Professor Caroline Wilkinson created, you know, the facial reconstruction of Richard's face so that we could actually see what he looked like. And Professor Wilkinson was a very, very big part of this project in moving it forward with Yvonne Morley Chisholm, the expert vocal coach.
Yeah. I mean, because just looking at his face, he looks very healthy. Is that, would people have looked that healthy in those days?
Yeah, I think because he was a duke and a royal duke, he would have had, you know, access to protein. But also it was a very outdoorsy lifestyle and there wasn't much pollution. And so they should have been relatively healthy. Also, there was no sugar. So his teeth, he's got really good teeth.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that's interesting you pointed out that. I hadn't thought of that because I would have assumed everyone in that era had rotten teeth, but not necessarily the case at all. That's so interesting.
That arrived with the Tudors.
Yeah.
And particularly Elizabeth I, who loved her sugar and had very black teeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that like royals always speak with received pronunciation, when did that start?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that was probably, 19th or 20th century, I'd imagine.
Right, yeah.
Yes, when that sort of began to come in. Yes, but certainly not in Richard's day. He was down with the people.
Yeah, and so Richard would have sounded the same as his subjects, or at least the subjects in the north of England.
Yes, pretty much so. Pretty much so. I mean, in the south, there was slightly a different way, not hugely so, but some of the sounds were slightly different. So when he was speaking in the south of England, they would have gone, oh, he's from the north.
Yes.
Much like they do today.
Yes, like they do today. So a south of England accent in those days, would it have sounded vaguely like a home county's accent, you know, seeking into a Cockney accent?
No, it would have been closer to what you're hearing Richard say, but certain words wouldn't have had the flat vowel. You know, the like, let me give you an example. Like Richard says sun instead of sun, you know, for the big yellow thing that's in the sky.
Yes.
And the southerners would probably have said sun. And so it's those flat vowels, the Yorkshire flat vowels.
That's interesting. Also interesting as well how, I suppose, different pronunciations of the same word within a relatively close proximity to each other, that one becomes predominant over the other.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I assume that's just because maybe the royalty moved down south and then everybody started speaking that way.
Yeah, do you know, that's one of the things that we lost with Richard's death at the Battle of Bosworth, because we might have had a whole bunch of kings from the north.
Yeah. Philippa, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Philippa Langley, a historian and author who discovered those remains of Richard III. And they have made a kind of a digital avatar of Richard. It's on display at the York Theatre Royal I think it's on there at the moment. Richard III sounds like a fella from Offaly who went to college in Trinity, still trying to sound posh, but still a bogger. Yeah, that's what we all sound like, really.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.